Okay, the great Ponzi scheme, the capitalist system is liberal democracies and fascist states is just always becoming Ponzi, and the tendency is to run Ponzi schemes instead of this vaunted development of the productive forces. The Marx explained in Capital very clearly and other works that capital is a fetter on the production of use values for humanity. This is absolutely true, and it's something that everyone should try to understand on the level of detail. It's not a theoretical position, it's an empirical observation. Keynes also understood this to a degree, where, and that's why he said that what was necessary for liberal states was euthanasia for the rentiers. He said that, meaning that because capital will avoid risk, the risk of loss at any in all circumstances, you have to force capitalists kicking and screaming to invest in the production of use values, and it's never going to be geared toward the production, the satisfaction of needs. It's always going to, obviously, it's always going to be geared to profit. But capital per se in the capitalist system, it can't be inactive. If it's inactive, if it's not accumulating, it devalues, it'll disappear. So the opportunities in the initial stages of this system to accumulate was to exploit labor. So you take your capital that you have from a legacy that goes back to enclosing land, by force, and now you have the historic results of this, some lump of appropriated surplus that the capitalist controls. That's capital. Let's say it's in the form of US dollars, and it's invested in commodity production to exploit laborers so that it grows, so that it accumulates. You get more back than you put in because you've stolen the surplus of the laborers. The only thing is, in the stage that the money is invested in the production, it can be lost. It's at risk. The laborers can go on strike. The commodities can suck and not get sold. Somebody else could be doing it better. There's a million things that could happen that means that you lose this money instead of getting more money back. So capitalists will seize any opportunity for a safer way of accumulating. That's the That's a fact. I mean, you can speculate about, people like to speculate where they start to tell Robinsonades, the individual stories about why someone might not want to do, some fantastic person might, in the sense of fantasy, individual might decide that they want to lose all their money. But that's not how it works socially. And there's many generations that we can observe now. So people are always, the capital is always looking to find ways to get back to slavery, or to get back to rents, to get back to absolute secure modes of constant accumulation, to take the risk out of capitalist exploitation and capitalist accumulation. So, now how this works in, the later stages of systems where democracy has been broken, where the labor has been broken, and the ruling class basically completely controls the state. What you have in the US is a system that guarantees that the ruling class is never at risk, that the working class assumes the ruling class's risks. And the initial sort of moral justification of capital's interest and profit was that it's at risk. This is, you get, the reason that you morally are, it's acceptable to be to make profit or get interest from lending your capital, your goat, to your neighbor, was that you're risking the goat. Maybe you won't get the goat back. So that's the inducement. But this has been removed from the system, and the risk has all been placed on the working class through the through the U.S. Treasury. I mean, it's the privatization of profits, socialization of costs, but it's in the dream of capitalist productivity or the economy, economic growth, is just a mask, and this is how it works. So you let's say you're this entrepreneur who's going to who's the engine of economic growth, who's going to open or is running some business in a community that actually, you know, has the known knock-on effects of prosperity, you know, so a little factory or a shop or retail or a restaurant or something in a neighborhood, and let's say they need $25 million, say. So they go to a commercial lender and they ask for a $25 million loan for their business, and they have a business plan. And where does the commercial lender get the money to lend them? Well, they go to the Fed. They borrow it from the Fed. There's a calculation. There's actuarial science that it is used to make policy to determine how much a bank has to own outright, how much capital assets it has to possess, you know, to borrow X amount and to lend X amount. You know, that's, you know, there's established math behind this, but, you know, even now that's not even really observed. I mean, it's much more political, but somewhere underlying this, there's a calculation, a debt architecture of what would allow a bank to be solvent, you know, to guarantee, almost guarantee its solvency. How much can it borrow? How much can it lend? So it goes to how much the Fed is going to lend this particular bank is going to be partly determined by this. So it goes to the Fed. The Fed says, okay, we lend you $100 million at, like, basically no interest. The interest will be below the inflation, but it's basically a gift. But say it's nominally, it's a 0.5%. And so the Fed, or a percent, the Fed lends the commercial lender $100 million. So the commercial lender says, okay, give me your proposals. Come, people who want to borrow, show me your business. We have this money to lend. So the business, so the local business or whatever, the not even local, you know, whatever, a business, an actual functioning commodity producer brings the business plan and says, please lend us, you know, let's say $20 million. And then the commercial bank doesn't say, oh, this looks like a good plan. We're going to lend you this money. Unless the borrower actually already has the money, doesn't need the money, and will, you know, put up the collateral equal to the loan and the interest, they'll say, we will lend you this money if you get the working class to guarantee that if you default, you pay. In other words, if you get the Treasury to backstop you. So the borrower who's going to start the business goes to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and gets a guarantee for 80% of this loan. That is, gets the Treasury, the working class, the people, the public money, the public kitty on the hook for this loan, so that the commercial lender can't lose this money, or can't lose 80% of this money. And then they make up the other 20% basically in the fees and whatever, but they can't lose 80% of this money. This is just the commercial lender. This is the commercial bank, the merchant's bank. They say, get us the guarantee and then we'll lend you the money for your nightclub business, for your burger joint, for your retail shop, for your soap factory, whatever. So the entrepreneur goes to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, gets the loan guarantees, goes back, give it to the commercial lender, then they get the money and they go do their business. The commercial lender takes the guaranteed part of this loan, the 80% that is absolutely can't be lost because the U.S. Treasury is on the hook for it. That is the U.S. tax base. and which can borrow infinitely, which can't be in solvent because of the military of the United States, that it then sells that portion, this totally risk-free loan, to the ruling class. And that is the ruling class that buys these absolutely risk-free loans. And they'll pay the face value, the amount that was lent, and maybe a point, so that the commercial bank gets a point on top of all their fees and everything, or maybe 2 points then if they for services or whatever. But the entrepreneur, the person running the business, extracting the surplus value from labor, that person is paying 7 or 8% on this loan. So the ruling class buys something for 2%, then they get 5% on top of that. That's what they get, the guaranteed loan that they can't lose. They're getting 5% for nothing. It's a feudal tribute. And this is the ruling class. This is not, you know, when the G cult comes in and says, oh, Chinese, you know, you don't have to show a passport to buy these things. You can be Chinese. You can be Saudi. That's who owns this. That's what the capital, when you read that some guy's a billionaire, it means that he owns these things and these kinds of assets and stocks, etc. So this is not, you know, this is the solution to the gamble of capitalism that people are still pretending. When the economists, even Michael Hudson or people like that, when they talk to the public, or Naomi Klein, they still pretend there's this system where the ruling class is putting its money at risk in commodity production, and that's the only way that use values get produced. And this is absurd. It's not true. It hasn't been true in a really, really long time. So this middle rung of person, that entrepreneur who is paying the 7%, the 7% is he's beating out of the hides of the workers of the business that he's running, that he's borrowed this money to run. And even if he fails, the ruling class gets paid because his risk has been transferred to the working class. But that person is usually just, you know, it's just a fictional, it's an entity, it's a corporation that's been created by the ruling class itself to run this scam. But then, of course, there are actual entrepreneurs, people trying to move up from the, you know, there's still a few of these that exist almost just for the storytelling. And they may lose, they may get wiped out, but the lenders, their creditors, are insulated from their failure. And now they're at a stage, you know, this system is so quote-unquote corrupt because corruption, mafia, Ponzi is the direction of all such systems. So that's what fascism is, you know, is the privatization of the state. So this level of person, the entrepreneur, is actually, you know, being wiped out right now, this whole level in the process of transforming the system back into a system of pure slave ownership, pure power, you know, get rents and tribute and risk-free ownership, risk-free wealth, you know, taking the risk out of the capitalist system, the risk to the ruling class has been the project of, you know, that's the project of fascism, and that's the project that's been advancing without check since the destruction of the Soviet Union. So this level is, and you can look around, you know, the retail is dying, and the retail, like the business of that retail was, which had a lot of this structure of this, you know, entrepreneur who's this middleman between the finance and the public, you know, transferring the commodities to realize the value to give back to the ruling class, the real owners of capital. This is being eliminated. You know, that's why retail turns into Amazon, and that's for a lot of reasons. This has a lot of benefits, including, you know, the mass surveillance and taking, but, you know, also minimizing the risk to the ruling class of this process itself, you know, in the capitalism and liberal democracy was a little bit of a minefield for capital, and now it's eliminated all those mines.